Children, you are dismissed to go to children's church at this time. I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 1. And while you're turning, I just want to mention a few things. It's interesting, if you are like my wife and I, we like to watch some TV at night before we go to bed. And along with our Christmas in July, I think it's because all of the regular programming is off for a couple months. So they're doing some movies and stuff Christmas in July on TV. So I've been, you know, sometimes during the day sort of humming different songs about Christmas, and you know, it's not beginning to look a lot like Christmas, but it's just you know, it's just the season, it's just the atmosphere, just the fun of what it's all about. So maybe you've been watching some of those. Of course, some of those Hallmark ones always have some love involved and some kissing, so you don't want the teenagers to watch that stuff. But it's kind of fun. Also, I want to take this opportunity to thank you for your prayers. About 2 months ago, I had surgery, and I appreciate all of you who were praying for me before and during that surgery and the continued healing process that continues to take place. Thank you. I really do appreciate your prayers. I invite you to stand with me as we read Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time to look into your word for a few moments this morning. And may your Holy Spirit minister to each and every one of us in your own special way. Help us to draw closer to you. Help us to realize who you want us to be and how you want us to live each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to tell you that, you know, one of our older persons, I visited Rose Swager on Monday on her birthday, and she, of course, is a little bit of hard hearing, but she keeps reminding me that the last time I preached, she couldn't hear what I said because I speak too softly. Anybody else here think I speak too softly? Okay. I guess I better shout like those preachers now. I'll try to do better. I'll try to speak up. Rudy, you give me, you know, some kind of a sign if I need to raise the volume, okay? So I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about trees. Kind of a weird topic, but we'll get to where we're really going. According to the latest statistics, there are over 3 trillion trees growing all over the world. That means there are 422 trees for every person currently living on the planet. The 4 largest countries with trees are, just for your information, you know, you have to have some trivia, right? Russia, with 642 billion trees, Canada with 318 billion trees, Brazil with 302 billion trees, and the USA with 228 billion trees. It's easy to say God loves trees. Why else would there be over 3 trillion trees growing on our planet? The Bible is full of passages that speak about trees. More than 35 different trees are specifically mentioned in the Bible. Trees appear in the first chapter of the book of Genesis and also in the last chapter of the book of Revelation. We know about some very important trees. Just for an example, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that we find in Genesis chapter 2, the tree of salvation, the cross of Calvary that we find in John 19, And, of course, the tree of life that we find in Revelation 22. It would be interesting for us to focus on any one of those trees this morning, but I want us to focus our attention on the tree that we find here in Psalm 1, verse 3. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. You have to admit, that's an interesting tree. It's an out-of-the-ordinary way to look at someone as a person, and yet, as the psalmist shares his message, he alludes to such a tree as a way of getting across his meaning. Let's take a few moments this morning and look at verse 3 a little deeper and see how this tree can help us understand how we can be such a tree, so-called person, for the Lord. Let's see how we can be a person who has never-ending supply of nourishment, who lives a life of continual growth, and to be a person of great resource for those around us. The first thing we notice is we need to have deep roots in the right place. The tree mentioned here is not one that resulted from a seed merely dropping from the beak of a bird or landed somewhere on the wiles of the wind. The Hebrew words used here by our psalmist are particular in nature. The idea is it's a tree that's been planted on purpose. It has either been planted purposely with a seed or is a tree which has been transplanted from one place to another. It has been put there intentionally. Its location is not by accident. It was by design. It has been put in a place where its roots can grow strong and deep. Let's ask ourselves a question or two. Where are we sinking our roots? Where are we taking root today? What type of soil do we find ourselves in? Positioning oneself means a great deal to being able to fulfill God's purpose in our lives. Positioning oneself has a lot to do if we are going to enjoy a successful and victorious Christian life. Take, for example, in the world of business, it matters a lot where you place your business and who you want to target. It can mean all the difference between success and failure. Let's look at the Goodlettsville, Tennessee-based retailer Dollar General. Even in the midst of a pandemic, Dollar General did not sit on the sidelines. They opened up 1,000 new stores, remodeled 1,670 stores, relocated 110 stores, and closed 101 units in 2020. That brought the total number of their stores to over 17,000 in 46 states, all located within 5 miles of 75% of the USA population. Wow. You would think they might want to pause this year, but this year Dollar General has 2,900 real estate projects in the pipeline, with plans to open 1,050 new stores, remodel 1,750 stores, and relocate 100 stores. Their future plans are to have over 30,000 stores in operation and double their annual retail income from $33 billion a year to $70 billion a year. Of course, a side note is we're trying to help. We take the stuff they can't sell and give it away, right? So, you know, that really, we're not helping that $70 billion, but we're just enjoying helping people with the products that we get to touch. None of that growth that they're looking at will happen by accident. It will happen because they studied, they planned, and then they built store after store after store. When we sink our roots, where we sink our roots matters a great deal. The same seems to be true with people who play sports. They know it matters where you stand in the batter's box if you want to get a hit in baseball. And they know it matters where you take a basketball shot or where you are when you try to kick a soccer ball into the net. The same is even truer in our spiritual life. If we want to grow healthy, we need to plant ourselves in the right spot, in the right environment. The man of joy, the blessed man, makes a deliberate decision to place himself and his family in a place that is near all kinds of godly influences. He places himself and his family in places which will enable all of them to grow spiritually mature. He avoids places that are wicked and would damage him and his family's spiritual walk. He avoids places and things which do not allow the Holy Spirit to have full control. Where we plant ourselves is vital to our spiritual growth. Are we putting ourselves in places where we can receive life, hope, joy, grace, and love? Are we putting ourselves in places where the Bible is shared and lived out? Are we putting ourselves in places where prayer is a priority? Are we putting ourselves in places that missions and service, like was talked about August 1st, is an opportunity to sign up for to be involved in some kind of a mission, whatever might be particular that would interest you and be involved in? Those things are important as well. Are we putting ourselves with people who are desperately trying to walk with God? Are we putting ourselves around people who are strong enough for us to lean on in times of trouble? Like a tree, the longer we stay at a place, the more roots we put down. Before we know it, days have turned into weeks, and weeks into months, and months into years. That is why it's vital for churches to create good soil all around them for families to come and put down roots. It is vital for churches to create good soil and good space for others to come and be transplanted into their congregation. Author Gordon MacDonald writes about a certain AA group he once attended. There was a woman by the name of Kathy who got up and shared her story. It was a grieving story of a woman who, at the age of 21, who had been a beauty queen, but now years after living the life of an alcoholic, looked beaten up, weathered, and haggard. No one would ever thought she had been a beauty queen. Kathy went on to share how she had been arrested, robbed, and even raped. She had been homeless more years than she could remember. As she shared her story and her eyes were filled with tears, she made a desperate confession that while she hated her life, she just could not stop drinking. No matter how hard she tried, she just couldn't stop drinking. She confessed she didn't think she'd ever be able to put down the bottle. It was at that moment an older woman by the name of Marilyn moved toward Kathy. She put her arm around her and spoke gently to her. Marilyn assured Kathy she would be okay now. She told Kathy, "You're with us. We can deal with this together. All you have to do is keep coming." In essence, she was asking Kathy to pick up her roots and transplant them along this AA group of people. For where she had been placing her roots was poison. The soil was filled with alcohol, drugs, loneliness, and pain. Here with this group, the soil was filled with health and healing, acceptance, support, and love. When Gordon MacDonald wrote this story, he ended it with wondering if the place where he was pastoring would have given Kathy the same invitation. He wondered if his church was that kind of soil where hurting people, people looking for help and healing, could transplant their roots. That has to be our aim, whether it is us as a church or a small group Bible study. Are we the kind of place where people can put their roots? And are we the kind of place where people should put their roots? With God's help, we can be and will be. Secondly, this tree showed determined, continual growth. This tree is one that is strong and vibrant. It is a tree that can stand up to whatever comes its way. It is a tree that experiences continual, progressive growth. Remember what I said about Dollar General a few moments ago? One of the things Dollar General Corporation has been able to do is enjoy over 30 years of continual growth. It's one thing to start a company. It's another thing to have a company last for decades. While Dollar General has a great track record, it pales in comparison to such companies as Stafelter Hoff. The Staffelder Hof is a family-run winery, distillery, and guest house located in the small town of Krav, Germany. It has been in continual operation since 862 AD. In case you are wondering, that's 1,159 years and counting. How did this company last so long? It made the right priorities and did what was necessary to last. It has survived the Reformation along with World War I and World War II. Talk about having good roots. Talk about being able to have some type of continuous growth. To survive and thrive that long is really simply amazing. But as long as Staffelder Hof has lasted, it pales in comparison to the top 10 oldest trees. Three of those trees have lasted over 5,000 years. Two of them are Old Chiku in Sweden and Jurupa Oak in California. Now, what does this all have to do with spirituality, Pastor Klinger? When we put our hearts, minds, and souls into it, we can experience continual growth. It takes determination. It takes consecration, and it takes commitment. That is what is making Dollar General thrive. That is what is enabling Staffelder Hof to still thrive, and that is what is keeping those oldest trees still alive after thousands of years. Now, we might not last 100 years. That is up to the Lord. Our desire has to be the same as Caleb in the Bible. At the age of 85, Caleb had this to say, "Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." That's a great spirit. How can we have the same spirit as Dollar General, as Staffelder Hof, as Caleb, as this tree in Psalm 1? We do it by delighting ourselves in the Lord, relishing in his presence and power. And when we delight in the Lord, we really want to get to know him better. We really want to be all that he wants us to be. We really just want to bask in his presence and just sense that he is ministering to us as we spend time with him. We do it by meditating on God's word day and night, by reading the word, by studying the word, by really getting into the word and applying it to our lives. And we really do that by allowing our minds to be renewed by the word, our hearts strengthened by the word, and our souls encouraged by the word. And we do it by being purpose-driven to grow closer to the Lord day by day. Many of us recently, a few years ago, read that book, The Purpose-Driven Life, but it's true that being purpose-driven in our spiritual lives helps us to know that we have a purpose and we are driven to grow and to become all he wants us to be and to, in a sense, find where he wants us to be available to him, where he wants us to be involved in the ministry of the church and ministry of the fellowship. If we're going to grow spiritually, it has to be intentional. There's no holiness virus we can catch and instantly become holy. We must desire to be more holy. We need to put ourselves in the ways of holiness. We need to saturate our lives with God's Holy Spirit. All this growing is going to take time. If we're going to grow spiritually, we have to understand there is a time element involved. And that is where the rub is with some people. Just like we want microwave meals and fast diets to do the trick, we sometimes seem to want to grow in the Lord quickly. We want to grow in the Lord and then rest on that growth for the rest of our lives, but that's not the way it happens. Spiritual growth takes time. It takes time for our thought processes to be renewed. It takes time for the Lord to build us up, to prune us, and to help us mature. It takes time for us to begin the abundant life and enjoy being filled with and led by the Holy Spirit. Spiritual progress often comes in small increments. It comes step by step. It cannot be measured over hours, days, or weeks. It really comes over months and years. Before President Garfield was elected our 20th president, he was a professor and president of Hiram College in Ohio. One day he was approached by a parent who wanted to know if there was any way the course of study could be simplified so his son might be able to go through by a shorter route. Oh, certainly, he told him. But it all depends on what you want to make of your boy. When God wants to make an oak tree, he takes 100 years. When he wants to make a squash, he requires only 2 months. If we take the time to study most successful companies, we will notice the majority of them are not overnight successes. We will notice they are a great deal like a tree. A tree grows, but it doesn't go from being a sapling to a full tree overnight. It takes time and consistency. It takes the same for a person who wants to live the life of a Psalm 1 disciple. It takes putting down deep roots. It takes getting into the Word day by day. It takes allowing God's Holy Spirit to prune and burn off the dross. It takes a person being determined and dedicated to learn how to walk with and in the Holy Spirit. The payoff is worth it. When we commit ourselves to having deep roots and when we do what is necessary for us to experience continual growth, we will see the result. The result is a life that is productive and fruit-bearing. We need deep roots. We need dedicated and determined continuous growth. The Bible, and then we need the life that is productive and fruit-bearing. The Bible tells us we can have a life that is a resource for ourselves and for others. We can have a life that not only benefits ourselves, but is a benefit to those around us. You remember the story of Jesus and the fig tree? We find that story of that tree in Mark 11. It's a simple story. Jesus walks by a certain fig tree. He looks for some fruit, but the tree is barren. Jesus curses it for its lack of fruit. The next day, Jesus and the disciples see the tree again and know it has withered and died. Why did all this happen? Jesus wanted his disciples to understand some very important truths. When God plants, he expects to receive a harvest. And when God saves, he expects us to be fruit bearers of his image and glory. All of us are made in God's image. We are to reflect his glory and his honor. We are to be like him. We are to bear his fruit. And one of the references we're familiar with is in Galatians chapter 5, where it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. All those words are not just words written down by the Apostle Paul on a sunny Saturday. They are words that describe some of the fruit we are able to produce in our life in Christ. Fruit that will not only reflect a change in our own lives, but fruit that will make the very atmosphere around us experience transformation. You and I will live our lives. What we do with them will determine what fruit we bear and what fruit we leave behind. If we are not careful, we'll live life to finish the job and pocket the paycheck. If we're not careful, we'll live life to just fix up the house. If we're not careful, we'll just live life to just drive the vehicle we really want. And if we're not careful, we'll live life to please ourselves and leave nothing behind but a pine box or an urn full of ashes. Sometimes we get so caught up in everyday living, we are tempted to forget We are to live behind a spiritual legacy. What we do with our lives does affect other people. How we use our voices and how we use our hearts, minds, and our hands will determine whether we are fruit bearers or time wasters. One person has said that in this life, we'll find ourselves doing one of two things: helping people find a life raft on the Titanic, helping them to safety, or arranging the chairs for people to sit on as the water rushes over them. I don't think any of us want to be known as people who arrange chairs as people's lives are being destroyed. I don't think any of us want to use the life God has given us for our own selfish needs and wants. I think all of us want to be the people who others can look to help them find the Lord, help them to live a great life and be ready to live on the new heaven and the new earth. I think all of us want to be people who can help others find peace, love, and joy. I think all of us want to be people who can bring others encouragement, support, unconditional love, connection, and belonging. All of this, deep roots, continual growth, and being a productive resource person never happens by accident. It happens when we co-partner with God. It happens when we open our hearts to the Lord for redemption, salvation, and sanctification. It happens when we walk in the Spirit and practice the art and ministry of spiritual disciplines. It happens when we begin to love people so much we seek out ways to help them emotionally, socially, physically, financially, and spiritually. It happens when we allow the Holy Spirit within us to show us how to be Jesus to all of those around us. What a great challenge for each of us. What a great life presented for us to emulate and live. Today, I want to invite you who have not done so to begin this journey. I invite you to accept the Lord as your personal Savior and begin this wonderful walk of holiness with Him. For others, I want to challenge you to continue the journey, to continue reflecting God's glory and honor, to continue the journey of putting down deep roots, experiencing continual growth, and becoming a person who helps others find encouragement, support, unconditional love, motivation, joy, and peace. For all of us, I want us to pick up the challenge to be a Psalm 1:3 person at work, at home, at school, in the office, at the factory, or wherever we find ourselves. As Mary plays, I just want to give you an opportunity. If you'd like to, if the Holy Spirit maybe is prompting you to just spend some time in prayer, it's a convenient place to come and pray at the altar. And just want to just take a moment to allow you to respond if you so desire. Father, I pray that you'll help us day by day in our spiritual walk with you, that we will do our very best to be planted in good soil and to put down roots deeply, to continually experience spiritual growth in our lives. And we realize that doesn't happen just because. It happens because on purpose we are praying, we are reading your word, we are applying it to our lives, and we're allowing your Holy Spirit to change us from the inside out to be all that you want us to be, so that we can be effective for you in ministering to others, and we can be fruit bearers, and we can let our light shine for you so that others will see you in us and be drawn to you and your love for them. Father, help us as we go out from this place today, as we live life this week. May we sense your Holy Spirit ministering day by day by day to us and through us. Sometimes we ask for wisdom, and when we ask that, we don't know what's going to happen that day. We don't know what's going to happen the next minute or the next hour. But we realize at the end of the day, when we reflect on it, oh yeah, that was God helping me to know what to say when that person asked that question, or that phone call I received and I didn't know what to say, and yet the Holy Spirit helped me to know what to say. Father, thank you for your guidance in our lives day by day. Help us to be persons of faith and love and determination to live for you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming. Lord bless you.
Looks to me like weakness is a canvas for your strength.